Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
From Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, celebrating Fork Fest number 7.
What the fork is going on?
The 7th annual Fork Fest. And but the first year, it was actually called Somalia Fest.
Oh, right.
And it happened, it was created as a response to Ian Freeman being banned. Some people, you know, obviously did not approve of that, so they forked off and made their own festival. And that's how Fork Fest came into existence, and it has since evolved and grown into its own thing. And when I say it's grown into its own thing, I mean it, because Fork Fest is decentralized.
It is.
No one is in charge, so no one's planning anything. We say that, right? But realistically,
I'm planning a thing.
Yes, but no one's planning Fork Fest.
Right, yes.
Sort of, right? But we're the ones who pick the dates, right? So, I mean, we say no one is in charge, and that's true, and people can pick their own dates for Fork Fest. It's all very confusing, and this is the decentralized nature of things. But Fork Fest is going on right now from June the 15th. Through June the 18th, and if you're listening to this, it's still happening. There's one day left because I'm pretty sure this episode is going to go on Saturday.
Yes.
Because that way Ian can come up here to go to the wedding. Now, if we nail out 2 full shows today, then we'll also give them one for tonight, but I think I'm probably just going to call in to Free Talk Live tonight to give them an update on how things are going, because yes.
The eyewitness report?
Yeah.
Nice.
I do it every year. And, well, not every year. Every year that Ian's not here, because usually he's here and we don't need someone to call in because there's no one there to talk to.
Sure.
But people have begun rolling in, and there is a dome being built down there at the bottom of the hill. I'm looking forward to checking that out. We didn't have a dome last year, if I remember correctly. We usually have a dome. It's the pirate spaceship 1 year. The big gay disco was another one. It was originally the big gay dance party.
Right, right.
And then the person who ran that, I don't remember his name, stopped coming. But on that subject, that's what I want to talk about, because there was a drag show there a number of years ago, and it happened, and everything went just fine. Right. No one's kids got molested. No one got attacked. Everything was just fine, because drag queens, believe it or not, are just like normal damn people, only they like putting on a show. They're performers.
Yeah.
In the same way that Dee Snider, who I go to as the obvious person who does makeup and puts on this big theatrical performance. By the way, screw Dee Snider. But
yeah, I was going to say along those lines, if anybody out there listening who's upset with the Drag Queen Story Hour thing, you know, particularly here regarding Fork Fest and Pork Fest, and you listened to any sort of 1980s glam rock / heavy metal, I'm reluctant to call it heavy metal, but you participated vicariously in a drag queen show, because all of them dudes were wearing buku hairspray, makeup, fishnet stockings. I mean, all of the things, right? If you listen to Bon Jovi, if you listen to Cinderella, if you listen to Winger, you know, those dudes had more what I want to call makeup, hairspray, all these accessories than your girlfriend did.
Yep, absolutely. And for those who haven't been following this, I don't know how you missed out on it. It's been rather a controversy. There is some issues going on with the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year and drag shows, because Maj, who has been invited to speak, who is a paid speaker, most of the speakers here aren't paid.
How does he get paid and other people don't?
Someone privately gathered up the money, and a realty company gathered up the money in order to pay his appearance fee. But, like, look.
Free market, okay, that's fine.
Well, sort of. I mean, in general, yes.
They're free to spend their money to pay whomever, I guess.
But it's a libertarian festival, and I don't know who needs to hear this, but if you have a libertarian, you can put a microphone in front of them, and they'll start talking. Like, a few years ago, there was this poor college girl who was super cute who came here to do an interview. She had five questions that she was tasked by her university professor to ask libertarians here. And the poor girl would... She would spend an hour with a single libertarian because there were questions about the economy or what they think about the government or whatever. And libertarians can just go endlessly
on
those
topics.
Long-winded,
for sure, yes.
And so she probably planning to interview, like, you know, 15 to 20 people. Instead, she got through maybe...
Four or five. That's admirable.
And, of course, we had her on Free Talk Live, and it was a lot of fun. And she was supposed to contact me and let us see the final study or whatever it was she was doing, but she never did that. I'm not terribly surprised. So, anyway, Maj is coming, and he threatened to roll up on, that was the terminology he used, any drag queen story hour taking place in, quote, his community. And... Bonnie of Free Talk Live, obviously, then said, well, you better not, no, she did not say you better not. She said, well, you might not want to come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival then, because we're going to have tons of drag shows, which obviously isn't the case, right?
Tons of drag shows.
Yeah.
There might be one.
Maybe. And I'm trying very hard to get this one because it's an ongoing long story. There have been developments. And so they got into it on Twitter and Dennis Pratt got involved because, I mean, Maj is literally threatening violence. And then he amended his statement to say, oh, by the way, if I'm at Porkfest, then that's my community. Make of that what you will.
Right.
And that's clearly in relation to his other thing, because someone raised the point of, well, Porkfest isn't your community, so it's fine. It was like, no, if I'm there, it's my community.
Sure.
No, dude, this is my community. Like, we're libertarians here. It's not your community just because you graced us with your aggressive presence.
It's a community.
Right.
Belonging to, well, everyone who participates.
If anyone, between me and Maj, if one of us has the right to say my community, it's me. It's me, bruh. Chill. So, he's still coming, and we tried to get him on the show to defend himself. He refused to do it, and he may...
Which is sad. I mean, like, you know... Anyway, go ahead.
He may come and talk to us while here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but I don't have high hopes for it, right? I mean, he doesn't seem to want to talk to us, but, like this is a particular issue for me, being a trans woman, right? Like, I'm not a drag queen. There's a difference between a drag queen and a trans person, but... Realistically, at the end of the day, it's just someone born as a male presenting as a woman.
Right.
Whether they're putting on the performance that drag queens are doing or not. So the difference between a trans woman and a drag queen is that a drag queen is performing, giving a show, an experience.
It's a theatrical performance.
Right. Whereas a trans person is just living. But contextually, there's realistically no difference between the two.
Yeah.
And... That, to me, seems like a threat against me. I didn't take it that way, obviously. I haven't even interacted with Maj because I don't care that much. But anyway, so I'm not going to let Bonnie's threat go as a bluff, right? Because I like the way Mark said it last night or the night before last, if you're listening on, well, you're obviously not here, so the night before last, he said, if someone threatens violence and you don't stand up for your rights, then you don't have rights.
Right, yeah. Then it's just a privilege, a temporary privilege.
Right. If someone can intimidate you into not doing something that you have the right to do and that isn't hurting anyone, then you have surrendered your right to do that thing. And I'm not going to do that. I want to say it's that noble cause, right? And maybe it is to an extent. But really, I'm a troll at heart, and this is an opportunity to troll, right? And when we talked to Dennis Pratt about this, he wrote it off as, like, just trolling. He's like, Arya, don't give me that. You're just trolling, Maj. I'm like, well, time out, dude, because some of my most effective activism was trolling.
Yes.
Right? I was trolling when I ran for sheriff and made international news.
Fantastic campaign, by the way.
Right. Running, F the police was the slogan for that campaign.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, and it was trolling from beginning to end. And... just because something is trolling doesn't mean it's necessarily bad or ineffective or whatever he was alleging based on the fact that it was trolling. So anyway, yes, I will continue to be trolling. I decided, fine, We're going to have a drag queen story hour. Bonnie can't be here, but fine. I mean, it's got to happen at this point, right? He threatened violence. He said there would be violence.
Right.
So I'm going to call his bluff, and there will be a drag queen story hour here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival next Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m. at the Free Talk Live site. That's RV46. I call it a drag queen story hour. However, I'm not a drag queen. Recently in Lancaster, like within the last few weeks, they were putting on a drag show.
Okay.
At the public library. And it was two drag queens, Katniss Everqueer and Emoji Nightmare, right? Drag names. That's about what you would expect.
Yeah.
One of these, it turns out, is a cis woman, as I understand it. But these are hard left people, right?
Okay.
One of them, I don't know which one. Ian watched the video. I have not. They did a video about fat pride, essentially. Like
fat pride?
Yeah. These are hard left people, and they are both on the bigger side. But these are hard leftists, right?
Okay.
So I assumed they you know, when I emailed them, they Googled me, or they already knew about me and were like, no, we don't want no.
Yeah.
No. You're too controversial. Because I get that a lot, and I think that would be ironic if they refused to. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. So that event was
backpedal. Yeah. Rewind.
It was going to be at the Lancaster Public Library here, but conservatives got really, really, really upset about the possibility that Jim Bob might take his kids to go see this thing, and God forbid Jim Bob, as a parent, have the right to decide what is best for his children.
Yeah.
That's the hurdle that they seem unable to jump. Is it for a child to be at a drag queen story hour, the parents of that child must have decided to take that child to that drag queen story hour.
Yeah.
Unless the child, it's in a walking distance maybe? The possibility of a child being there without their parents' explicit permission is extremely low.
Yeah, rare even. Like, I mean, how does that really happen, like, ever? Has it happened ever that, like, a child has been to one of these without their parental consent?
I sincerely doubt it. But obviously, most parents aren't going to have any issue with this. And there's lots of good reasons for this. Mark asked the question, well, why does someone want to do a drag story hour? Well, Mark, we think it's important. I think it's important to expose children to different ways of life that they may otherwise not know about, right?
Yeah, I certainly, I mean, I don't have kids, but I certainly do not believe that you should shield your children from reality, because all that happens, and I'm just speaking from experience as a child who's I've had several different sets of parents, but many of them were of the shielding variety. They wanted to protect me from all the bad things in the world. And so then when I finally struck out on my own, I was shocked by reality.
Sure.
And it wasn't anything like they had described, and so I had to, like, reform all of my thoughts and my patterns and my habits around this new reality, when they could have saved me a whole bunch of time by just not shielding me from reality in the first place and explaining things truthfully as I grew.
I'm a firm advocate, though, that, you know, children should be exposed to things that broaden their minds. It would be totally fine to have a black person story hour, or a Chinese American story hour, or whatever. Like, especially here in New Hampshire, where they're not ordinarily going to encounter a lot of black people or Asians or whatever, it's important for them to go, hey, this is normal, it's okay, and you treat them just like you treat every other human being.
Right.
And they don't wish you any harm, just like every other human being doesn't really wish you harm. And that's an important thing. Plus, one of these kids may be gay. They may ultimately decide they want to be a drag queen, which is unrelated to being gay, or they may be genderqueer, or they may be trans, or whatever. And this is the part that makes conservatives really unhappy. They think it's going to make these kids gay or trans or whatever, when no, it's just going to let them know that if they are those things, it's okay. Look, if you could be made straight or cisgender, I wouldn't be here right now as I am, because I'm from the Bible Belt,
right,
the deep south, Mississippi, right? My grandmother and father sent me to countless gay, not countless, but they sent me to a gay the way, pray the gay away camp.
Oh, no, are you serious?
Yeah.
You went to one of those?
Yeah, they did the
Jesus
full thing,
Christ.
Right? I mean, this is the Bible Belt. They found women's clothes in my room, and they were not having it at all. So, you know, I dealt with all that. They did everything they could to make me a normal straight dude, right?
Yeah.
And if it was possible to affect someone in that way,
right, it
would have affected me. But instead, what you find at these Pray the Gay Away camps is that people kill themselves.
Yes.
and or they revert back to actually being gay or trans or whatever. So you're not going to turn any of these kids into being gay or trans or whatever. You're just going to let them know that if you are these things, people will accept you.
And if you look at it from the reverse perspective, how do straight people become straight? Do they attend straight classes? Do they go? Do they put on, you know, straight seminars? Is there straight story hour? Is there?
It's,
I mean, not,
it's
not
very
overtly,
subtle,
right? But like, you know,
no, it's pretty
I can't
overt.
Sign up. I can't sign up at the library for straight kids story hour. Right, so like
you kind of can though, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like it's called cis heteronormativity, and it permeates all of American society, and you see this with like.
Well, I mean, I'm talking globally, even.
Well,
right?
Yeah, this globally as well,
straight,
but especially in America.
Straight
America's
sexual
a place
orientation
that I can use
doesn't happen because of culture.
Right.
It happens because of nature.
Yes, but it does permeate the culture.
Yes, like, absolutely it does. Yeah, absolutely
and
it does.
And the best example is like a child, you know, a four-year-old being told, oh, he's such a little ladies' man or whatever. That's cis heteronormativity.
Right, but the reaction from the conservatives is just one of the belief that your straightness can be taken away somehow.
Right.
Instead, like my belief is that if you identify as not straight, likely you're born that way. Right, that I don't have evidence to say that, but that's my belief, is that that's how that occurs. I've had way too many friends who are not straight. I've known way too many people who are not straight that have told me, look, dude, I was born this way. This is just how I feel. And it wasn't until I did some self-discovery that I was like, oh, my gosh, it's okay for me to be this way.
Right. People don't. You don't choose what you're attracted to. It's really that simple. I don't know why these people think, if you like redheads, okay, well, you didn't choose to be attracted to redheads or brunettes or
blondes. We've done stories on Free Talk Live about a dude who is sexually attracted to his vehicles.
Yep, or an ashtray was what we did.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of a thing. So, like, there are far more different varieties of sexual attraction than human beings even want to admit right now.
Yep, and it's not, sexuality is a complicated thing, right? And it's not about exposing children to sexual material. That doesn't happen at any of these drag queen story hours. It's just normalizing cross-dressing and drag queens to children, which to me is totally fine. These things should be normal because imagine the effect it's having on your kid. Your kid's secretly gay. They haven't come out to you and you don't know. And they see you ranting all the time about these evil drag queens. You're permanently destroying your relationship with your child by doing this. Your kid may be gay, right? And imagine all of these hateful things, or maybe a drag queen, or maybe a crossdresser, or maybe trans, and they've seen you through most of their life say these horrific, evil, hateful things about people who are not harming anyone. So conservatives got really upset about this drag queen event that was happening in Lancaster, this drag queen story hour, and they began threatening violence, you know, as conservatives like Maj tend to do when something happens.
Like what kind of violence?
I don't know. I didn't see the reports. I just know that the library canceled the event. They were like, look, this is, they did get some security that was going to work it, but eventually even that wasn't enough, and the library was like, look, we're pulling the plug on this.
So the library said, we've received some threats and we're canceling the thing?
Well, we don't know who received the threats. I just know that it was the library that canceled the event.
Okay.
The two drag queens, to their credit, and White Mountains Pride, to their credit, they wanted to continue the show. They wanted to keep doing it. And so I was like, man, that's awesome. I think you should have kept doing it, too. So I have an event happening on June the 22nd, I think. I think it's the 22nd.
What day is it?
It's Thursday.
Okay.
And because Windows 11 sucks, when I click the actual date icon, it obviously doesn't open a calendar like it used to.
It's today, though. It's next Thursday.
Right. Well, today's Friday.
Sorry.
Yeah, but June the 22nd at 3 p.m., though, is when I was hoping to have my tranny story hour. And here's two drag queens who just had an event canceled here in Lancaster.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, come do your thing at my thing. We can merge the two things and have one really awesome thing.
You extended the invite.
Yeah. There's going to be 3,000 people here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, especially by Thursday.
Yeah.
You could get a really huge crowd. And, you know, I warned them. I was like, some of these people are conservatives, and the reason I'm doing this is because I want to push back against those conservatives. I want to make the bigots uncomfortable again. I want to make them feel unwelcome.
Yeah.
just like they're trying to make trans people feel unwelcome throughout society. To that end, I have two flags arriving tomorrow. One is a Satanist flag, and one is an LGBT pride flag that I'm going to have hanging here at the site. I wish I had just brought my own, but I didn't think about it until yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine. $6 is a flag on Amazon, so I was like, ship it up.
Yeah.
So I invited these two drag queens out to Porcupine Freedom Festival. And, you know, I would have had to buy them day passes, I'm assuming, to get them here and inside, but it would have been fine. But they didn't get back to me. And time kept going, and they didn't get back to me, and they didn't get back to me. And White Mountains Pride didn't get back to me. I emailed White Mountains Pride. I contacted both of them, both of the drag queens, through Instagram. Bonnie emailed White Mountains Pride, and I suspect she also contacted them through Instagram.
I have to ask. Did you call?
I didn't have a way to get in touch with them.
They don't have a phone number on their website?
Oh, no. White Mountains Pride, it's just a Gmail account.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much all it is. And I didn't even know who these people were, right? I just knew that there was an event that had been canceled in Lancaster. And it wasn't until some conservative who was really upset, and he did an expose on these evil drag queens, and he happened to release their identities, their drag story names, their drag names, in this little thing. It was all FUD and lies that he was, you know, creating to spin about these two drag queens. But that was how I found out that it was Katniss Everqueer and Emotion Nightmares, because he was the one, in his irate anger about these two evil drag queens, he gave me their contact information. So thanks, conservative. So I contacted them, Bonnie contacted them, and yesterday, one of them finally got back to me. I want to say it was Emoji Nightmare, but I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. But she reports, or he, I don't know what you call a drag queen, they report that they will not be able to attend the event because they have another event on that same day, at that same time. I tend to believe people are honest in telling the truth, but the delays that it involved with them getting back to me, and, like, they probably
had a meeting.
They have large Instagram presences, right? They saw my messages, and they saw the White Mountains Pride emails from both me and Bonnie and probably a few other people. And I would understand if they're like, no, look, we just don't want to do it. Plus, I said, you can read whatever you want, but it would make this a lot easier if you read one of the Tuttle Twins books that I will provide.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to say you have to read that.
Right.
But it would make this a lot, it would make that pill
good
a lot
books,
easier
by the way.
To
the
swallow.
Tuttle Twins are, seriously, like, if you got kids and you're freedom-oriented, the Tuttle Twins is where it's at.
Yeah, I've got, like, 6 books that I'm going to be giving away now after the Tranny Story Hour.
Okay.
So anyway, the drag queen, one of them turned me down, and the other one still hasn't responded, so I'm assuming it's going to be a no from both of them. So, Drag Queen Story Hour at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, not going to happen. However, Tranny Story Hour is still going to happen, and that is June the 22nd at 3 p.m. So come down for that. It's going to be here at the FTL site. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know at least of a few children who are going to come down to it, and it's going to be a good time. I'm just going to read Tuttle Twins to them, right?
Yeah.
And that's all it's going to be. It's not going to be anything weirder than that.
Party on, Wayne.
So we are here at Porkfest, and we're coming up. We're going to talk about other awesome things that are happening here, and we are here all the way through the Porcupine Freedom Festival, so come hang out with us. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says he can state with confidence that I-95 will reopen within the next 2 weeks. A stretch of the interstate has been shut since last weekend when a bridge collapsed as a result of a tanker truck fire. More than a dozen people are reported injured after a Baltimore City bus crashed into an apartment building. A total of 17 people were hurt, but none of the injuries being reported are life-threatening. An Arizona man was killed in what is being called an exceedingly rare bear attack. The 66-year-old man was sitting in a chair on his property when the adult male black bear attacked him and dragged him about 75 yards. A neighbor shot and killed the bear. A majority of black Americans believe racism will get worse during their lifetime. The new poll by the Washington Post and Ipsos also found that almost 70% say it's now more dangerous to be a black teenager in the U.S. than when they were teens. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. June the 15th through June the 18th, you can come and hang out with us. It's beautiful. It's supposed to rain all damn week, apparently, but you can't tell right now.
It's sunny and nice right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the sky is gray with a thin layer of clouds in parts, but it's a beautiful day. It's idyllic weather. A lot of times at ForkFest, the weather is not what you would like. Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. Like, I remember one year it dropped down to like 30-something degrees one night. Because we are at the mountains of New Hampshire. It gets pretty cold up here at night.
Yes, we had shorts, T-shirts, and flip-flops during the day, and then hoodies and hats and, you know, flannels at night.
However, today it's like 73 degrees. It's absolutely perfect weather. And I can't help but notice how green the campground is, right?
It's very green this year.
Is it just me, or is everything, the grass is a lot brighter than it normally is? Like, I saw the picture I took of the Free Talk Live site, obviously, and I'm just shocked when I look at it at how vibrant and luscious the grass is.
Including the rain that's still to come, it has rained quite a bit
That's
as
true.
Far as summer is concerned. Like, spring has just sort of carried over into summer. We've had thunderstorms that, you know, are not that common. They do happen at least annually here, but...
Yeah, I miss thunderstorms, man. That was one of the best things about living in Mississippi.
When I moved here from Seattle, I forgot that thunderstorms were a thing. And then the first spring, I heard the... I'm like, oh, yeah, thunder boomers, man. I forgot about those. I was excited.
And, of course, tomorrow, I'm so scattered, right? Like, I was supposed to bring some wireless microphones and a dress, and because tomorrow, of course, is Nikki's wedding. Nikki and Matt of the show, who you may know from, you know, Rogers Campground or from
great
the show
people,
Freedom Live. Yep. They are getting married tomorrow, and I'm performing the ceremony, and I've never performed a wedding ceremony. So this is a new experience for me. As the high priestess of the Reformed Satanic Church, not very many of the things we've done were like monogamous,
yeah.
Right? Big on orgies and that sort of thing. Not so much the monogamy.
Yeah.
So we never done this particular ritual, but you know, I'm excited for it and I'm looking forward to it and
well,
it's going to be great.
I'm ordained technically by the Church of Spiritual Humanism. That's where the reverend part of Reverend Captain Kickass comes from. I've been asked repeatedly to be, you know, sort of the reverend at people's weddings, and I turn them down all the time because I just don't like the whole state-sponsored marriage thing, right? And none of these people have been sort of, you know, types where they're like, well, we're going to get married, but we're not involving the state, whereas this is that case, I believe, Matt and Nikki.
No, they're involving the state.
Are they?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's necessary for legal reasons. Like...
What it's legal just, reason? Like,
well, to put each other on with each other's health insurance and
you can do that without that.
To visit hospital? You can't.
Yeah, you can.
I've been married. The reason we got married was to get on each other's health insurance.
Yeah, but what year? Because they've done things now, or you could just declare somebody your whatever. There's a term for it. Life partner.
There's also tax breaks.
Something like that.
Something like that. There are lots of legal reasons, and it's never happened. But if your partner is in the hospital, I've never heard of them asking for a marriage certificate, but you could provide the marriage certificate in order
right,
to get
but
them.
You can,
I like there's no legal reason to get married. It's simply wrong.
But like there's ways that you can still get that same effect without the actual state marriage license. It still involves the state, of course, where you can declare somebody your legal representative
right.
in certain ways, and then you can have you know jurisdiction over their life just as you would as if you had the marriage license.
Right, but if you have to involve the state anyway, then why go through all those extra hoops instead of just getting a license?
But the people who have approached me have all wanted to involve the state licensing, and so I'm like, no. Besides, like, I would much rather go to the reception than the wedding, right?
Sure.
I'm not big on the ceremony stuff, and particularly if it's like a religious wedding, you know, where they've got all the God stuff going on. It's like, I don't care what you do. I'm not going to judge you for you doing that, but I don't want to be involved in that particular aspect, right? If you guys want to declare your undying love to each other for the rest of your lives in front of a whole bunch of people, great, do it. Just invite me to the party.
Right. Well, I don't have any objection to it. If people want to involve the state, that's fine. I'll do the paperwork. Like, I think Nikki forgot the marriage license, but I think Matt brought it. Like, I've got to fill it out and take it.
License. You need to ask government permission to get married.
It's more like a notification than an actual license, because they don't Mississippi had some grounds for refusing to do it, but it was actually if they just made sure you weren't like first cousins.
Yeah.
Like that was the actual reason they did it. But it is mostly a rubber stamp, but it's completely insane. I'm not a fan of involving the state in relationships.
Marriage licensing was originally had something to do with like. So that slaves couldn't get married.
It did.
Yeah.
It's to prevent interracial marriage. And you know, going even further back, it was about preventing the contamination of royal bloodlines and nobility and things
yeah.
like that. So marriage from beginning to end, it's always been a sham, right? Not a fan of it, but...
Yeah, that's what the point I was getting at is like even during the whole... when gay marriage was a big topic in the political spheres, I was always against it, not because I'm against gays getting married, but because I'm against the legal institution having anything to do with your personal relationships. So that is to say that I think everybody should be equal, straight, gay, whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
Right? Like, no one should have to...
But that's not the way the law sees it, and there are advantages
right.
in the legal system to getting married that I can't blame anyone for wanting to take advantage of. It's just like, I don't support getting welfare, right? But I also can't fault anyone for getting SNAP benefits or whatever. It's like, I would prefer that institution not be there, yeah. but it's there and it's going to affect them.
Right.
So I don't necessarily see any problem with them taking advantage of
so
it.
So it does come down to preference for me. Like if there's somebody out there that wants to do a non-state sponsored wedding, and maybe wants Reverend Captain Kickass to officiate, I don't know, maybe I'd do it. You know,
but that's what Ian and Bonnie did.
That I usually turn down.
And Mark officiated it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I did forget my dress, and that's going to complicate things. I mean, I've got clothes I can wear, but I tend to dress not. I tend to wear pretty revealing clothing.
Oh, I was going to say,
and that's not appropriate for a wedding.
As the high priestess of the Reformed Satanic Church, shouldn't you have like some sort of a hooded cloak? Or something.
Well, I did, not a cloak, but
what I'm saying.
The dress I was going to wear was one of those pentagram dresses where like the straps of it form a pentagram across your chest. It's really cute, right? I wore it to James Babb's party like 3 years ago
yeah.
when the Reformed Satanic Church helped sponsor his party.
Okay.
Like 3 years ago. And that's one of the things I want to talk about because like the way Forkfest is for me now, or the way things in general for me now are drastically different from what they were 3 years ago. Like today at Forkfest, the show ends, things wrap up, I go to get something, and then I retire to my hotel room, and I just sort of languish there all night. And I don't, like, and that wasn't the case 3 years ago. I would have been out here hanging out with people and doing stuff, and something changed. But it's not just Forkfest, right? It's easy to say, well, no, you just don't want to be at Forkfest, but no, that's not the case. In February, I went to Vegas.
Yeah.
And the same lethargy afflicted me there. Like, there's something really wrong with you if you can go to Vegas and not be like, not have fun, really.
Well, could it have anything to do with the impending doom of the state hanging over your head, perhaps?
I think it does, and I don't know to what extent it's PTSD from the raid
as
well.
I'm not trying to psychoanalyze, but it seems to me
it's almost certainly related, right?
Yeah.
Because 3 years ago, Ian was here, and you know we had a blast. I sponsored parties. The Reformed Satanic Church was here. We FUD played here. I was active out and doing stuff.
Right.
And now I'm just not. And someone made a joke recently. Mark called me a libertine last night. And
what's a libertine?
It's someone who is a hedonist, essentially.
Oh.
And I'm a hedonist. But he used the example of, he said something like a hedonist is someone who is really sexually active and they do a lot of drugs or whatever. But like, I haven't called myself a slut in a really long time. I used to call myself a slut all the time.
Yeah.
Because I was a slut, right? That's fine. I'm not slut shaming. I just was. But I've had sex like 5 times in the last 2 years. It's just, I'm not interested in it. Like, I could get sex if I wanted it, and I can get sex whenever I decide I want to have it. But the interest in it is just not there in the same way that it's not there to go to parties and socialize. Like, there's something
is
wrong
Aria,
with me.
Is Aria growing up, maybe?
No, it's not that.
No? You're like, no, I'll never grow up.
No, it's that there's something wrong with me, right? There's nothing ungrown up about not having fun or about having fun in Vegas or whatever. Plenty of adults do that.
Yeah.
It's just like something was broken within me after 3 years ago. And before 2 years ago.
When did you first determine that something was wrong? When did it occur to you? Like, you might have felt something, and then you're like, you know, I think something's wrong with me.
At Louder Than Life in 2021, which would have been, I think, September of 2021. So about 6 months after the raid, I was like, man, something is wrong here. Because I had a few opportunities to do some stuff that would have been a lot of fun. And I was like, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it was at that point that I was like, I would never have turned that down under normal circumstances. So what's going on? And it's just continued playing out since then in more and more ways that I've noticed that something changed in me in a negative way that I don't like, mm-hmm. right, and that I would love to fix. But I don't know. I began seeing a therapist in December, but that's been X now because I'm going to prison in 10 days. So,
although they might have somebody you can see.
Probably not very good, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the therapist that I have, she's really, really good. I want to keep using her, but I'm going to be in prison. So, ideally, when I get out of prison, I will be able to get back into that. But I don't know if that's going to fix the issue. I don't know if it's permanent, what was done to me. And I hate that because it makes me sound like I'm a passive person who can't control it or whatever. But I've never experienced anything like this before, right? I've struggled with depression, anxiety, and crap like that my whole life, and the solution was to do some shrooms every once in a while, it would go away, and I would be fine, and I'd have to deal with depression. But, like, this isn't treatable like that was. There's something much deeper here that I want to say is most likely PTSD. Like, just something damaged me on the day of the raid. And it hasn't recovered. Yeah.
That is a trauma event for everybody involved in the raid, and even some people who weren't. Like, some people who live vicariously through the events of the Crypto Six, they feel depressed because this happened, right? Because it is an attack on freedom. It's an attack on freedom of speech. It's an attack on the radio show. It's an attack on the listeners, not just an attack on y'all. And yes, first and foremost, it was an attack on y'all, right? And that, you know, that's sort of the beginning of it, but like other people, that effect trickles down.
Right.
Because of just the exposure that we have of doing a radio show.
Yeah, so it's something I'm aware of and that I would like to fix. And like when I do go out and do things, I do have fun. It's not like I'm not having fun or something. It's just that I want to go be lethargic. I want to go withdraw into myself, and I don't know why. It's a weird thing.
I've said this before. I, as just a person, and I'm 51 now, I've adjusted my life to certain, you know, ways of being. I require a significant amount of alone time just to exist in the world today. And sometimes it's difficult to explain that to people. You know, people want to come over, people want me to go out, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, I just, you know, I need some me time. I just need to chill and be with my own thoughts, be doing my own stuff.
Right.
You know, sometimes I find just doing nothing with no sense. Some people refer to it as meditation, like I'm doing some form of meditation, which I probably am. I just didn't know that that's what it was called.
I don't know if I would call it that. I think meditation is a directed, conscious, deliberate thing.
But I'll sit, like, in a room with, you know, no music or sound on, and I'll just sit there and think for an hour or something, right? And somebody's like, well, you're meditating, dude.
Yeah, that's meditating.
Okay. I just didn't know that's, you know, there was a clinical name for this thing. But, like, to me, that allows me to sort of center myself and, like, you know, realign my priorities, figure out what it is. I like to do things on purpose, and I get scattered just as a person. I have 17, 18 projects that are all, you know, less than 2% started that I want to get back to, but I never do. And so I need this sort of alone time to recalibrate and prioritize the things that are important so I can get something done.
Right.
Because I'm a little bit of a scatterbrain when it comes to things that I want to accomplish.
Well, I've always needed alone time as well. And, I mean, that's a valuable thing. I have my cats for that. They sort of recharge my social batteries because I can just, like, chill and pet my cats. And it's just me and them. And it's great. But it's something more fundamental going on with me than just needing alone time. I still get alone time. And, you know, I've always gotten alone time. And that hasn't changed. And the need for that hasn't changed. But it's very curious. And I've always been an introvert anyway. So... Yeah. I'm probably the only one who really notices the difference, at least to this degree, because I've always been an introvert, and generally I get, like, adopted by extroverts who are like, hey, Aria, and they drag me out into things, and, you know, I'm unwilling to go, but I go, and then I have fun, and, you know, I stop being introverted, and you know how that goes. It's a classic introvert sort of thing, right? And when I first came to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it was Will Coley of Muslims for Liberty, Call to Freedom, who was, quote, the extrovert who adopted me and dragged me to things. And, of course, he had a family, so he wasn't into, like, a lot of the things that happened at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, so that was an interesting experience. And then after that, it was sort of, I guess Ian adopted me as his pet introvert at that point. And that's the Fork Fest that I will always remember. And pictures from that one are the desktop background of my computer, because it was a lot of fun, and it was just a great experience, right? And I actually think that was also the year that FUD played here, if I remember correctly.
Like 4 years ago?
Yeah, well, three years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, well, depends on how you measure it, right? 20. This is the third...
Let's see, I moved in 2019 in May, and I think...
This is the second year that Ian was not able to really attend, so 3 years ago, whatever year that was.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know... That year was like, it was also, that was peak ForkFest year, right? That was when ForkFest was its biggest and its best, and it was fantastic. And then, of course, like 6 months after that, we got raided by the FBI, and I hate to be all cliche, but things just haven't been the same since. And I would, I mean, there's no going back, right?
Well, yeah, and they're never going to be the same. That raid certainly changed reality for not only you guys, right? You guys obviously far more affected than anyone else, but it changed reality for everybody. And I remember the same thing happening the last time Free Talk Live was raided as well. It sort of was like, things aren't going to be the same from here on out. Things will be forever different. And I don't know that you can roll that back without the state rolling itself back.
Well, yeah, I mean, once something is done, it can't be undone, right? And this, certainly the previous raid affected everyone, right? But no one was arrested. Right. It didn't happen at 6 o'clock in the morning. No one was traumatized.
There were no tanks,
there
were no drones. Right. There wasn't 18 different alphabet agencies surrounding an entire city block, blocking off traffic, people from getting to and from their homes that morning.
Right. The level of violence that occurred on March the 16th, it makes sense. You know, I would be traumatized. But and I hate saying that, but I don't know what else to call it at this point. But
you got a bunch of military-looking dudes pointing guns in your face. Yeah, that's a traumatic experience. Yeah,
and they literally did threaten to shoot me, yeah. Right? Like
in your house.
Yes. As I stood on my stairs basically naked in a pair of underwear with a blanket wrapped around me because, you know, it's February or March and it's cold in New Hampshire. So things just haven't been the same since. And it breaks my heart that even unless all the charges were like miraculously dropped right now, there's no going back. Like, right? Like, the relationship, the friendship that I had with Ian and the Free Talk Live stuff that we did and all of that stuff, like, it's never going back to the way that it was.
Right.
And the government took that away from us.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, the friendship still exists, obviously, right? And we're still doing Free Talk Live and all of these things still exist, but they broke something.
Yeah, it's going to be forever tainted with the stink of the state.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, and then, of course, is the reality that in 10 days and, like, 20, well, let's see, it's 11 days and 5 minutes now, or 4.5 minutes, I will be going to federal prison.
Yeah.
I got a call this morning from an unrecognized number, and I was like, oh, is this it? I don't normally answer unrecognized numbers, but I feel like I kind of have to right now.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be just some telemarketer, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, soon.
Have they been trying to reach you about your extended warranty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, unfortunately. But soon, you know, I will be called by the U.S. Marshals, and they're going to tell me where I'm going to be serving my prison sentence. And, right, like, it's all very soon. It's very, very soon. I have, like, 10 nights left with my cats.
I know when I say this, I'm speaking for a bunch of people that I know and probably a bunch of listeners, but I don't know how else to say it. I feel sorry for what you're going through. Like,
well,
sorry is not the right word, but, like, you have my sympathies.
I appreciate it.
And in my opinion, you're doing a stand-up job of toughing through it.
Thank you.
Right? There's not a lot of people who could, like, handle that pressure and continue to do this show and continue to, you know, do all the things that you're doing in your life. I know you're prepping for this eventuality, and so you've got a lot of stuff to take care of responsibility-wise with, you know, your pets and, you know, you're trying to do things with your stuff and make sure everything's secure so when you get back out, you can, you know, still have some sort of a life. You're doing a fantastic job. I think a lot of other people would have cracked by now.
Thank you. It's difficult. I mean, obviously, it's going to be difficult, right? You have this sort of Damocles thing. But it's not that much harder now than it was the entire time as I was under pretrial supervision waiting on this trial. Ever since March the 16th, I've been waiting on something. And that's no way to live. That's a terrible way to live.
Yeah.
You should live in the present moment, not in the future. Not in the past. You should live in the present. But when there's so much crap going on in your life, it becomes very, very difficult to live in the present. And I still try to. Don't get me wrong. And I still think it's possible. And that's the only reason I can sit here doing this show, right,
yeah.
And be fine. It's not that I'm, like, burying it or anything like that. It's that, no, I'm choosing to be here right now and to experience this. I'm not experiencing 10 days from now. I'm experiencing this moment here. 10 days from now, I can experience that.
Right.
But it's very, very difficult to do that when So one of the things that I want to write about when I'm in prison, right, is you see all of these stories that begin with, like, you know, they sort of a flashback, like, there I was in this situation thinking to myself, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. And playing all of these things. But that's not what happens, right? When you're in that situation, you're not thinking about the past. It's the future that you're thinking about. Okay. So, and I want to write about that because that to me is the interesting. I knew exactly as I, you know, rode with the U.S. Marshals to Concord Jail, I knew exactly how I had gotten there.
Right.
What I did not know was how I was going to get out of there.
Yeah.
And that was where my brain immediately went. There were things within, like, my present life that I was worried about, like my cats and stuff like that. But, like, no one in that situation sits around reflecting on how they got there. They know how they got there. Because it's obvious. They know how they got there. We know what we did that brought us, in general,
yeah,
that brought us into this situation. But anyway, so it's most people live in the past or in the future, and they're very, very much not in the moment. And I've always tried to live in the moment, but when there's so much impending going on, and then, of course, you're waiting on to get out of jail, you're waiting on a meeting with your attorney for your supervised release terms to change,
yeah,
then for this next hearing to happen, and then for another hearing to happen, and then this other hearing, and then you have a... You know that there's an additional indictment coming, yeah, a superseding indictment, where they're going to charge you with even more stuff.
Yeah.
And through all of this, you're waiting on this distant future thing that is the trial. And it's just, when you're waiting on that much stuff, it's really hard to live in the present.
The attack of the state doesn't end just when you're arrested, just when you're raided. It doesn't end there. And in fact, it continues on for years and years and years. And something that I think a lot of people maybe innately know who listen to Free Talk Live, maybe innately know that when people do a show like this, the risk that is being taken by anybody who appears on this show is quite large because the state does not like what we do.
Right.
And so these are the risks that are being taken. Now, I think that the hosts of Free Talk Live put their money where their mouth is by doing so, by appearing on this show, by talking about freedom, liberty, you know, peaceful resolution, the non-aggression principle, prosperity, how to be prosperous despite the fact that there's this overwhelming behemoth of a state that is literally oppressing everybody under its wing. Or
well,
under
talking about Free Talk Live in and of itself, they're not going to worry with, right? That's like tweeting or posting on Facebook.
Certainly it'll get you on a list.
Yeah, it'll get you on the list, but they're not going to come and visit you for your tweets or for your posts or for what your statements here on the show. Usually. There is more coming up here from Fort Festo, and we're here for a few more days, so come hang out with us. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.